At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So where we at with music?
I'm done.
Done with it?
Yeah, I still love music. I always love music. It's more so the business side. Mm-hmm. And just like, it's more than just music. You know, you got music and then you got the music business. Just the business, and my heart can't take that. I'm just not. You know, you got some people that's for that, yeah, and could do that, but I just had to come to terms like, nah, this is not for me. So it started from 5 and it continued until I was 13. Mm. So it was like a lot of years. And I be trying to like look back and try to, like, why didn't I say anything? Why, you know, I just think that I was afraid of what it could cause and, like, just the heartbreak and, it, you know, like, and, yeah, so 5 to 13.
He was sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And was it a family member or a friend?
Family member, yeah. Family very, very, very immediate, like, close. Like, okay. Very, very immediate.
Whole lot of gay shit.
Whole lot of gay.
Hey, what's going on? It's Boss Britt, the most lit.
What's up? It's your girl, DJ Excel.
And this is
the No Homo Show,
where everything we talk about
is almost
gay. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the No Homo Show. Y'all already know the vibes.
Just another gay day.
Another gay day.
Look, shout out to everybody tuned into our podcast. And big shout out to everybody locked in on our Patreon. Y'all know that's where we're exclusive at. We building that community first. So yeah, we appreciate y'all.
And I've been seeing people ask like about the audio. So y'all can still get the audio wherever you get your podcast at. Yeah. It's not just that we're on Patreon. So if you still want to rock with the audio, go on.
And actually, just saying that audio just got added to Patreon. Okay. So I gotta figure that out. Y'all, I've been busy, all right? But I just seen that was a thing too. So we're gonna figure out how to add the audio for people that's just like, you know, driving and, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Keep us in your ear.
Yep.
Now you know Excel can't rock the merch, but I got the merch. We got our new little fancy hairstyle over there. But y'all see what I'm rocking. Y'all know y'all get it first, Patreon. So go run it up. We just got a new collab with Zono Trenu. This is like, you know, official right here. There's not going to be too many ones made of this. So go run it up right now because we're going to sell out for sure. Yeah. It's about to be the summertime, about to be pride season. And if you prefer coochie, you got to be rocking your.
You got to let people know.
You got to let them know.
Especially, I want to see some fems rocking this. I'm not going to lie. Because I was saying, you know, a stud, you know a stud. But fems, sometimes, like, we don't be knowing.
Know.
If you just give us the little green light.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Go.
Yeah.
Okay, collect it.
Yeah. So everybody need to go snatch that up.
Hell yeah. But let's get into it, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest for today. So today's guest was coming by to talk about a whole lot of gay shit, is a lyrical powerhouse with a razor sharp pen and a presence that commands attention. With roots in New Jersey, she's been making waves in the hip hop scene, delivering bars that are fierce, raw, and unapologetically authentic. Her music tells stories, challenges norms, and speaks truth that resonate with a wide range of listeners. She's also expanding her empire with the recent launch of her clothing brand, Last Breed, a bold and stylish reflection of her mindset and message. Whether she's in the studio, on stage, or building a new brand, she brings an energy that's magnetic and undeniable. Gabies, please welcome to the No Homo Show, Sunny Sir.
Hey, yo, what's up?
Hey. What's going on?
Everything good. I'm happy to see y'all again. Yeah. I'm happy for y'all having me here today.
This is my dog, man. I had to be like, man, it's been like, goddamn. Yeah. How long? It's been a minute, though, for real.
Yeah, I think it's been over a year. You know, I like to go under a rock sometimes.
Yeah, I done thought Sunny Surf lived in a whole other state. She right here, y'all. She wanted it up.
Yeah.
Low key.
Low key. Yeah, y'all might have seen Sunny in Miami with us. That was what? That was 2 years ago?
Like 2 years ago, we did Miami for sure.
At the Wet Hair.
She performed
and shit like
in
that.
Vegas with us.
Oh, we did
Vegas.
I forgot about Miami everywhere.
Yeah, that's love.
Yeah,
I forgot about Vegas.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Well, we glad to have you up here at the show, at the No Homo Show. We can
have
some
happy
fun
to be
today
here
and talk about some real stuff today You feel me? But we're going to start light first.
Yeah. You know, you got to break the ice, you know what I'm saying? So we got a game called Skittles and Riddles, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to reach in that Skittle bag and there's a gay riddle, all right? I know you ain't got a shot glass today, but anybody viewing at home, Take a shot if y'all get this wrong. If you get this wrong, everybody that's viewing got to actually take a shot.
Because none of us are drinking.
Okay. Yeah. So remember, it's a gay riddle.
Yeah, they can't cheat. They got to take a shot, right?
They got to take a shot. They already know. If they get it right, they got to take a shot. Either way, it
goes. Why did a lesbian ghost her date?
Go to her date?
Ghost.
Ghost like her date.
Bitches be ghosting, bitches.
That's what I was saying. No, I don't
think that's the answer. You so ghetto. Bitches be
ghosting. I play too.
Yeah.
Her ex called.
Oh, shit.
That's kind of good.
That's valid. That's kind of good.
Her ex, you know, the lesbian ex thing is kind of.
Hey, dead ass.
You be dressed for your day and everything. Like, hold up, I got to change your heart.
Yeah.
Change your heart and change your clothes.
Damn. All right, what number is that?
That's number six.
Number six.
Why did the lesbian go ghost on her date?
Yeah. Why did lesbian ghost on her date?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds pretty accurate.
That's like
to
super
me.
Like ex lesbian. That's kind of.
Yeah. And if it ain't that, it need to be. You know, this game be playing with us.
It's probably going to be something stupid.
Yeah, it's probably something stupid. It's always something stupid, bro.
You said six?
Yeah, number six.
Is this.
It's two number sixes, I think, low key.
Yeah.
That looked long as fuck. The answer long? It's stupid as hell. I just see a long sentence. I'm like, yo.
Hey, I think it's stupid.
I don't get this. All right. Because she realized she was dating her ex with the septum piercing.
Septum.
I mean, we're going to take out the piercing and all that. I think I was right.
I'll give it to you. What's the
septum? That's kind of right. The ex thing.
Yeah.
Oh, because all lesbians got that?
It's like stereotype.
I like the first part, like you said, Sonny. This game really, it's just to get people drunk. Yeah. We never really get the shit right.
Yeah. So that means everybody got to take a shot. Everybody got to take a shot.
I don't get this.
Yeah. When I saw how long it was, I'm like, I know that's about to be stupid for sure.
Right.
All right. Well, that didn't do much at breaking the ice. All right,
let's keep the ball rolling because that didn't piss me off, low-key, high-key. All right. So we're going to get into your coming out story next, Sonny, sir. Mm-hmm. If you feel me, let us know who, what, when, where, how was it for you coming about that closet?
Oh, my God. Dang. So I was in middle school, and I think I came out on MySpace. It was like in school at first, you know, the Skittles background, Taste the Rainbow. You know, little encrypted messages and stuff like that. Yeah. So then I started hanging around this gay girl that was older than me. And I just got real comfortable and I just got tired of like being in the closet. So one day I started drinking and I was with her and I got this courage to like call my mom.
In middle school?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was in eighth grade. I hung around older people. I'm gonna be real. Like I hung around older people. I was a little mess. So I called my mom and I asked her. She was like, yeah, do it. Like, this the life. Like, do it. I'm like, okay, cool. So I told my mom, I said, Mom, I got to tell you something. You know, like, I like girls. Y'all know what my mom said? No, you don't.
Well, you try to get off your chest.
No, you don't.
She said, no, you don't. And I'm like, yeah, Mom, like, I like girls. She's like, no, you don't. And then it was like, okay. Like,
that's real awkward when you can't accept it.
Yeah, like, I just knew it was like, yeah, all right, this ain't good. Like, I got on punishment. It was like, what is that going to do? Like, you know?
Damn.
Get on like, punishment for being gay is crazy.
Yeah, like, I was on punishment, trying to punishment the gay out of me is crazy.
Punishment the gay out of me. Like,
I'm got to come back out the room, right?
Yeah.
Out the closet, out the room.
Right.
It's crazy, right? Like, yeah.
So what happened next?
Pretty much like at the punishment, it's crazy because I was dating a guy at the time. And you know, it was weird. Like all the guys that I dated looked like girls. Hair, long lashes and stuff like that.
The guys I dated end up being gay men. Like,
yeah, that's
and
a
it
thing.
Was middle school. It was middle school.
Middle school, right? That's a thing, huh?
That's
I guess so. We didn't know why we was attracted to each other.
Yeah, yeah. So now it makes sense. Bundles, lashes. Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Bundles. Bundles is crazy.
Yeah,
bundles.
Well, I'm just saying the long hair and stuff.
Bundles.
Yeah, like
all
I'm
right,
just comparing
okay.
it.
I thought you
like,
said the boys with the bundles.
Yeah, so
okay.
then I was dating somebody at the time. It's crazy. I was dating this one guy through like 6th to 8th grade. It wasn't nothing crazy. I wasn't like doing nothing with him, but he was like, to me, that was really my boyfriend. Like I thought we was like going to be together forever type of thing. Like,
yeah.
And rest in peace to him because he passed away. But
rest in peace.
Yeah, they kind of start trying to force that. Like, I can't go nowhere, but trying to make me go to his house a lot more.
That's
make
crazy.
Him come over a lot more type of thing. And, like, I didn't want to kiss him. It just wasn't, there was no spark there, really. Yeah. Like, yeah. I was just doing it for my mother and everybody, trying to hide it. Yeah.
That's how a lot of people can relate. So when did she come around to it? Like, all right, you know what? Clearly your ass is gay.
Okay, so
Did she
really never came around to it. Well, I can't say never because she did, but it was a little while, and it was like for something traumatic to come up in a family for her to feel like, dang, like I get it. Like, I can't even be like this. I gotta accept this, because she felt like that played a part of my choice. Yeah. So it was like that.
Okay. Hey, a lot of people can relate to that. We had easy coming out stories, but everybody's story is different. That's why we like to share it on this on the platform, because we know people that still like in their 30s, 40s, and they still haven't come out. So that's it's crazy. Always interesting, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
We walking around like, you feel me? We are who we are, but a lot of people can't be who they really want to be. You feel me? So everybody's story is different. All right, so we're going to talk about you for just a little second to get some background, because like I said, I met you, I don't know the year, maybe like 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You came to Atlanta, you know, you're pushing your music and everything like that. You got your clothing brand. I'm rocking your shit today. Yeah. Shout out to you.
I appreciate that so much, bro. Got that on. Every time I see it, I save every picture.
Yeah,
I got every picture.
I wanted to see you shit. I always forget.
I do want to say you are the first brand that ever sent us something that was really fire.
Wow.
Like, a lot of people send stuff, but it just be like, don't be fashionable. Yeah. It'd be like a printed t-shirt.
Yeah.
And we open this like, oh, bitch, you get that? You get that? Nah, let me get that. You know what I'm saying? So thank you. I do want to thank you for that.
That makes me happy. I appreciate that for real.
Nah, it's a fire brand for real.
For sure. So where we at with music?
I'm done.
Done with it?
Yeah. I still love music. I always love music. It's more so the business side. Mm-hmm. And just like, it's more than just music. You know, you got music and then you got the music business. Just the business, and my heart can't take that. I'm just not. You know, you got some people that's for that and could do that. But I just had to come to terms like, nah, this is not for me. So
damn, I'm sorry, because you hard as fuck.
That was hard. That was hard. Like, can y'all imagine that? Like, just been chasing this for like 10 years, like, this is just what I knew, and just like, oh my God, it was like a death. Like, I'm closing the blinds. Like, I don't want to see no sunlight. I don't want to see nothing. Like, they're out there living this life without me, doing their music. I don't want to see anything. It was like a depression. Like, I just had to like talk myself out of that, because that's what I was doing for so long. Like, it was hard for sure.
Now, I always say, like, I salute artists that,
music ain't no joke.
Yeah, because like, the difference between an artist and a DJ is like, even if you're like a little weak DJ, you can still make 150 at like a cookout or something.
Yeah.
But an artist is just investing until you get popping, and then you start getting paid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it takes so much where like it takes a lot. And then you, like you said, it's even the business, like people like lying to you, selling you dreams
and shit.
Right,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like just so money hungry. Like,
I think it changed so much. Even from since I started, I feel like I started in like 2015, 2014, like really doing it. And it just changed so much since then. Like, with that money thing. And it's just like, before you could just rap to somebody outside and be fired and get this deal. Now it's like, you got to put this money into yourself. Nobody's not touching you until, you know, and then it's just like, in between that, it comes the bad people, and they know that's the game now, and they just take advantage and, you know, things like that. But I don't want to say I just kept running into that, but like, I just know I've been through so much. Like, I just didn't want that for myself. Like, I just started to see where it was going, and it was like affecting me like daily, and I just had to let it go. I'm listening to music. I love music. I love new artists, everything like that. But just like, for me and a part of my story, it's like, that's just not.
And you have real good music out there. Just for people that's not aware, like, just let them know some features that you had.
I did Balmain with Coco Vango. I did a live with Fatboy. I wasn't really big on features. Like, even through the investing, like, I could have a lot of times paid for a big feature, but I don't know if anybody ever really thought about it the way I did, but I'm like super like real, like, I'm gonna pay for this fucking feature. They ain't gonna listen to this shit because I'm on it. Like,
you pay
for this big feature, like, they're not gonna listen to it because I'm on it. That's just like what it is. Like, you get what I'm saying? Mm. That's how I thought about it. Like, it's business. At the end of the day, you're gonna do whatever I'm paying. That's just how I looked at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't really big on features. Like, that's how I looked at it. And I just, I don't know, like music was just so, and I can't even put the words, like, I can't put the words with it, but like, I just wanted to, I wrote things down, you know, some of it. Well, what I wanted to share, I wrote things down, I went in there and I just did. I wasn't really thinking about features, anything like that. Yeah. It wasn't never for no fame, it's just, or anything. It was just like what I love.
Yeah.
My way to express myself.
Right. Got you.
Yeah.
So you're fully immersed in the brand now.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you come up with that?
So, we got to get into this episode, you know, with the last breed and, you know, how I got the name and everything. But like, I was talking to somebody one day and they was like, man, like, you know, before you even stepped in the booth, you had that shit on. I'm like, damn.
Definitely had that shit on.
Damn, that's so true. Like,
not that that's so
some
true.
True shit. Yeah, like, you know, facts. For real, I love clothes.
Yeah,
like,
nah, you be flat
I
so.
Love clothes. Yeah, like, yeah. Clothes is just something like, it just comes so easy. Like, everybody like, you shop fast. You pick out stuff fast. I'm like, I got to get something to wear. It's just colors and just, I just love it. So it was like, in that depression, driving my fiance crazy. She came in one day and I had all the blinds open now and I said, ooh, I'm gonna do clothes. I was just up and I said, I love this. Cause I said, the next thing I do, I have to love. Like it has to be like something I want to do. Like, you know, and don't feel like too much of a job. I was like real adamant on that. And I was like, this is my life. Like I know clothes and fashion. I'm always going, you know, be a part of that. So that's how the clothing line came about. Like, and music and fashion kind of
coincides. Just artistic and creativity.
Yeah,
creative.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, I'm glad you definitely found something else because I can tell from when I met you that you are a passionate person and you're creative.
Yes.
So I think that, like you were saying, a lot of times shit take away from that. Like, this ain't even fun no more.
Nah,
you feel me? Like, now it's just all business. Like, I kind of dread doing this shit. So
right.
I know how that feel when you find something new and it's like, damn, I got my spark back. Like you said, curtains up. You feel me? Like I'm up on my feet. So I definitely want to shout out to you, man. So we're going to get into the conversation today. So today we're going to get into a deep conversation. Just trigger warning for anybody that's watching because it is a serious discussion that we'll be having here today. Mm-hmm. And we definitely appreciate you for coming here and feeling comfortable to share your story with us. Okay. So we're going to be discussing your experience as a survivor of childhood sexual assault, how that trauma did or didn't influence your journey into queerness and a recent encounter that brought you face to face with the person that harmed you. So like we said, this is going to be real raw and important conversation about healing, identity and reclaiming power. And also when you called me, you were just saying like as a dominant presenting woman, you wanted to speak on this because a lot of people probably don't know that side of you or they look at us and they just assume whatever they might assume.
Right,
but
right.
There may be people out there. No, there are people out there that can relate to you and your story. So we definitely going to get into it today.
Right.
Before we get into it, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Like, I feel great. Like, I'm comfortable with you guys. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be here. You know, like, so it's good. I'm good.
Yeah, your energy feel like...
Not for real.
Yeah, like, I was like, I gotta let them know this is okay. This is all right. Like, you know, because I know it's such a sensitive topic.
No, it really is. So, however, you know, many details you want to give us, can you walk us through your experience and how it took you to even... let people know what was going on with you as a child.
Okay, so when we go back to when y'all told me about my coming out story, at that time I was still kind of like, I was in high school and I was, you know, dating girls in high school, but at home I'm walking out the door with girl clothes on and I'm like getting dressed in the bushes type of thing, like, and I'm taking the clothes off and doing stuff like that. So how I came to talk about it and be face to face with it. I was about 15 or 16 years old and it was something going on with somebody really close to me that I cared about. And I kind of felt like it was happening to them because the person was also close with them. So that's how I came to like, hey, mom, I gotta tell you something. Like, you know, this happened with this and, you know, and that's how we became like, that's how I became face to face with it for the first time. You know, that's how I became like,
It
became real. Does that make like, it became real? Like, oh, this is really real. Like, you know, like, cause I always put it in the back of my mind, you know, like, and, so I told my mom or whatever. And like, man, that day was like, it was like, so crazy because like my mom just, she just like cried. Like she just like cried. And it was like so bad that like I just had to just walk out and just like go upstairs and I just closed my door. And I felt so many emotions like, oh my God, like what did I do? Like I should never done this. Like did I do the right thing? But like the type of person I am is like, I love so hard. And it's like, I couldn't tell for myself, but I wanted to help the person that I love. I wanted to protect them. And it's like, hey, like I'm going to do this for you, you know? And then that's where it comes in. My mother accepting it, like, you know.
Oh, you being gay.
Accepting me, like, yeah, man, like, and she even apologized for the punishment and just like how they were acting. And it's just like, I don't move with like hate or anything like that. So, you know, I just was like, it's cool. Like you couldn't have known, you know, like.
Okay, so can we go back to, because our viewers don't know exactly what we're even really talking about.
No,
so like maybe start from the beginning of you even going through your trauma, like your age, what happened, if you want to say, like if it was a family member.
For sure, for sure. So I could take y'all back. There's no problem. Yeah. So I remember, like, I always remember the first day. Like, it was like being like five, you know, like I was five or six, because I know I was in kindergarten. And this person, I'm going to say, was like really immediate and really close, you know, like really close. Like, and I looked at him like a protector and somebody that's supposed to protect me. I think at this age, he was like 15, 16 or something like that. And I just remember like being like him picking me up from school and then like him saying like, hey, like when you get in the house, go in the attic. Like, it's like, all right. Like, you know, I didn't know. And then that's like, I just remember like that, like it, that's when it started, because like, I don't know why, like, you know, 29 years later, it's like, that's, I remember it. Like, I remember that. So it started from five and it continued until I was 13. So it was like a lot of years. And I be trying to like look back and try to like, why didn't I say anything? Why, you know, I just think that I was afraid of what it could cause and like just the heartbreak and it, you know, like, and yeah, so 5 to 13.
Sexually assaulted. And was it a family member or a friend?
Family member, yeah. Family very, very immediate, like close. Like very, very immediate. Like,
you don't want to say.
If
not, it's fine.
Yeah, like I'll say like, it was like, I want to keep it like family member, yeah, but immediate. So, you know, family, yeah. So, you know, immediate is like right there. Yeah. That's like that first.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, bloodline. Like.
Word. So, like, you had trust in him.
Oh, yes.
You're
yes,
a kid. Much, yeah. You look up to him. This family, they tell you to go up to the attic. Right. You like, right. All right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And are they like telling you things to have you think like, damn, if I say something, or like, were they saying something to make you feel comfortable with it? Or
I can't remember that, but like I remember it's so like weird. Like I remember him still trying, I can't even say protect me. Like it was like he was showing me a certain type of favoritism, bringing me candy, taking me places, let her stay up. Like it was like, as a kid, I would say manipulation.
You felt special.
Yeah, it was like, I don't think that I knew exactly what was going on. Like, but it was like he did things afterwards, and it, in a strange way, it was like I still looked at him as a protector, and because I don't know. Like, I don't know what this really is. Like, so it was like, yeah, I think it was kind of like a manipulation thing. Like,
yeah, I think T was saying that when T Sanders, we interviewed her, and she was saying like something crazy made her feel like she was happy. She felt like the favorite in a sense, but it was manipulation and stuff. But like as a kid, you can't process that, and you don't necessarily know right from wrong. Like you're taught right from wrong.
Right, you know what
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So at five, it's like, you know, so that makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah, because when somebody's older than you at five, you look at them as superior, and you look at them like knowing everything.
Yeah.
You know nothing, you know? So
yeah.
So you said 5 to 13, mm-hmm. was there any point within that time frame that you realized, like, this ain't right? Or did you know off the back that what was going on wasn't,
I knew. Like, I think, I wouldn't even say, I think, like, 9, 10-ish,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this ain't it.
Like, yeah. 9, 10, that's like 5 years later, though. Mm-hmm.
This is this was like, and it's the stuff that happens right, you know, under people's nose, like, but yeah, like, 9, 10, and then it's so crazy because I got so used to it. It was like, here go that thing, mm-hmm. you know, like, and then like, even in that process, when you got somebody that's so immediate, I don't know how we got to this, but the lunch man at my school, he started to do it.
Wow.
So then it's like I remember like what I had on, like telling my mother, like down to her 50 Cent Summer Jam black t-shirt, and mm-hmm. how he did it was he stayed with one of my friends I went to school with. But again, here is another man, but I'm used to this. Like, this is all right. Wow. You know, so it was kind of like, you know, but I knew it was wrong, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. I apologize if I keep like, to answer your question, yeah, I knew it was wrong, but it's so confusing. Like, you know, it's so confusing being a kid and going through that because it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but like you think you still love them. Like mm-hmm. that's still whoever that is, you know, you try to, you know, and I don't know if you become numb or if it just become like normal to you, but I felt like that was still always my protector, you know?
I mean, they could still make you feel like they care about you. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right, right. Like, they can make you feel like they care about you. They can make you feel special. Mm-hmm. And you as a kid, like, you know the feeling of feeling special and stuff. Right. So, like, you still desire that. Like, I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I do get, like, as an adult looking back, like, how could I still love this person?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I do think it makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. though. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And sometimes, like, it mentally, some people fall in love, like, fake in love with, like, the person that's doing this because that's the only one that's showing the care for them in a sense.
Right.
You know, so it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know stories like that where, like, some people get hypersexual on different outcomes. Yeah, for sure.
So the lunch man, like, you were at, like, your friend's house or something, mm-hmm. and he... Mm-hmm. Damn.
So it was like he set it up.
Your family member?
The lunch man. It was like, okay, I'm going to get her to start playing with her and then get her over there. And then when she gets over, this man has seen me every day in school, you know, like.
Damn.
And then when she gets over there, you know, I stay over there. So I'm going to, you know, so it's like, that's two men.
Right.
Before 10. You know, like, that's two men.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, man. Yeah, were you the only one with him sent, like, do you know?
I don't know. Like, I never think anybody is just the only one because I look at that as a sickness.
Hell
like,
that's
that is a sickness. Like, people, I don't know how everybody see it, but I just think that's a sickness and you can't help that. Like, it's just like how we like girls, you know? It's just like they can't help that. That's something like strange, you know? Not like how we like girls, you get what I'm saying? I'm saying it like how we like something, just anything that we really love.
It's in them, you know? They need to get help type thing.
Yes. So it's like, where was we again?
I was just asking, did you know any other friends that.
Like I told you, I told because I felt like it was happening to somebody really, really close to me that I felt like I needed to protect. Yeah, I feel like it happened to more people.
So you felt like you kind of cared for them a little more than you actually cared for yourself because you wanted to protect them.
But that turns that into that because it's like that turns you into like you silence. You learn to silence yourself. You don't really speak up. You get what I'm saying? And I'm learning all of this through therapy, like, because for so long, I thought I was making every choice on my own, from liking girls to everything until she started, you know, pulling my layers back. But, like, I feel like it's way more that comes with that, like, me not being able to speak up for myself at that age and feeling, like, not confrontational, like, you know, and just, it's kind of sad, like, to feel like you want to protect somebody more than you want to protect
yourself. So, like, how often was this happening?
Man, this is, like, And this is like, it happens under people's nose. It was like, you ever see like the pictures on Instagram and stuff when all the kids be like, remember we used to be at granny house and they all be sleeping on the floor. Mm-hmm. It's like stuff like that. Like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And it's like when waiting for everybody to be asleep. And literally like tiptoeing wall to wall, like James Bond, everything like, and it's like tapping and like, then it's like the kid knows the thing. So the kid's like, okay, this is that. Like, so it was like, it happens under everybody's like,
yeah,
who's up really at 3-4 a.m. Like, you know, in the house, just, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Because I do always be wondering how it happens under these circumstances.
Right.
Or like, do people, are they suspecting this stuff is going on, but they just kind of don't want to believe it's going on? Like, when you told people what's happening, did anybody feel like, man, I knew something was going on? Like, did anybody have that feeling, or was everybody completely blindsided?
Some people didn't believe me.
That's crazy.
And when they called him, he admitted to it instantly.
What? Really?
He's like, he knew I was going to say something. Like before even speaking to him or anything, they're like, And he just was like, yeah, you know, like, I knew she was going to say something. You know, this happened to me. So,
okay,
you know, I did that. And then it was like the whole, like, sympathy. And
so it was just, it happened to him. He's doing it to you, which a lot of them do.
And everybody was like, sorry. And, the outpour of, like, love for, like, 2-3 days, 4 days.
When this been going on for...
years.
Almost a decade.
Yeah, like...
And when did that conversation happen? Was that when you were 13 or, like, later on in life?
That was, like, 16 because it stopped at 13. I was, like, 15, 16.
Oh, that's when you told? So it was, like, three years...
It stopped because 13, okay. I'm starting to want to wear boxers.
Oh, you and can't. Still,
it's like, oh man, I think I did this kind of thing. Like, let me. This is starting to get. She's getting older. It's kind of like, let me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't have no kids, right? But I'd be really nervous. I don't even think I would let my kids stay over at somebody's house. But the thing is, something with family, we think automatically we're family. Ain't nothing weird going to happen.
Right.
And I think even, not even like sexual assault or nothing, but I think if two cousins might be like doing a sleepover or something, they might just be curious and they might not even be like, you know what I'm saying? Like if it's two like 8-9-year-olds, y'all just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I really think like families need to start being a little more observant. And because I know like, oh, that's your boy cousin, you're a girl, but y'all just stay... Like, this, y'all stay in the room.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
No, you're not even thinking because that's your cousin, but these are kids that are just... going through life not really knowing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're sneaky. Kids are just sneaky and just
facts.
Curious, you know what I'm saying? But is there any, like, tips you would give knowing, like, yo, this is what they're doing? Like, yeah, at 4 a.m, or yeah, they're telling me to go upstairs. Like, is there something you would tell a parent to, like, kind of look out for if they think something's going on or just to keep the kids safe?
Yeah, I would say, like, stop looking for the guy in a white van. I would say stop looking at the drug addict outside, or stop just looking at this guy because you think he's socially awkward and you don't want to leave your kids with these type of people. These are everyday people. This can be anybody. There's no look to this.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot. Like, you know, girls run from the white vans and nobody want to walk down the street. No, this is you. This can happen with anybody. People you love, people that you, so I think that's like kind of like, that's what I kind of want to lead in with. Like, you got to be more like, you know.
And is there something that you would say, like, a certain way to protect your kid type thing?
When it come to kids, I don't know. I could not, like, that's even, I can't, I don't want kids. Like,
oh my God.
I can't even, fat. I think, like, my kid would be tired of me. I'm just so, like,
overprotective.
Oh my God. And when you go through something like that, like, I couldn't even imagine, because how long and how it was, you know, like, I don't think it's no way, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no way. I mean, like, I have a little sister. My youngest sister is 7. My youngest brother is 11. And since I came out, they don't stay anywhere. Mm. Like, my little sister can't stay anywhere. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I don't want to tell people, like, don't let your, it's like, I don't know what to say. I don't want to say, like, don't let your kids stay the night at anybody's house. Yeah. But it's like, you really have to pay attention. Like, you really have to be on it. Like, because I can't step outside myself to see if it was signs or anything. But.
And I would say also, like, making it a little bit normal in a parent-child way to ask your kid questions, you know what I mean? Or make them feel comfortable to tell you and not just assume nothing's not going on. Something's not going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, before, if your kid does go to sleepover, like, hey, if anything's wrong, you can call me. You won't be in trouble. You can call me at 3 a.m. Because kids, their mentality think, I can't call my mom at 3 a.m. What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to just have that conversation of, like, in a way, let your kid know that that's not okay. And if anything, because some kids are manipulated to think, I'm going to get them in trouble. Or I'm going to, like, they really manipulate you in a crazy way.
Yes, they do. They do. They do.
Yeah. And I will say, like, just from hearing different stories, it kind of seems like it'd be like a generational thing. Like, oh, this happened to me too. This happened to me too. And then it's kind of like, not saying in your situation, but some people kind of try to normalize it. Like, oh, this happened to me as well. You'll be okay. Just like,
or that's their excuse to.
Yeah, like.
I believe that. I talked about that a lot. Like, I feel like if it happened to Lisa, then it happened to Annie, and it happened to this person. It's just like, oh, this is what happens to us. Like, everybody's supposed to be quiet. Mm-hmm. We just move on. But, like, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't do that. This is not right. Like, you know, because, like, 29 years of my life, you know, I still had this guy in my presence. Family functions, like, everything. Like, when y'all probably met me after that for Thanksgiving, I done flew in. And
damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and how was that, like, being around? Like, were y'all talking? Were y'all, how was it being around?
Like, I learned through therapy, like, I put it in the back of my head. So it was like, I try to make it as normal as possible. What's up? Hey, I never got the eye contact. It was always like, it was just always
guilty,
weird.
Yeah.
But I try to make it as normal as possible, because I try my hardest to make this, like, not become me. Like, I'm like, this is not going to become me. Like, I'm not going to be that person. Like, so.
So did the family not do nothing, like, to, like, press charges or anything? Because obviously I know he is part of the family, and that's an awkward situation too, as far as saying, like, not even making it normal, but like, hey, we're not going to get our cousin, uncle, sister, brother locked up. Like, did the family do anything?
I mean, like, I was just so, like, I didn't want the attention. I didn't want to be that, like.
See, you dimming your whole everything.
It's been like that. Like, I didn't, it was just like, if y'all going to act like it's, I'm young.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it was. So I just kind of let it be what it was going to be. Like, you know, I remember them talking to him admitting it, and then
it kind of got swept under the rug type thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because people felt bad for him, you think?
I don't know. I'm just a different person. I don't know what it is.
Like, yeah.
I think if they don't, they feel a little guilt because they might let it happen to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they don't want to get them locked up. And it's a reoccurring thing. Mm-hmm.
And
you know
men
I mean?
Get special treatment too. I don't know what it be about the man in the family, but some of the men just, like, they get away with, like, a lot of shit.
Especially if it's a family with a lot of women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you want to get into your most recent encounter?
So, like, the last encounter was probably, like, the hardest. just doing what I'm doing. I'm growing, I'm living my life, and I get a call that something happened to him, you know, and it's like, all right, people, you know, things happen to people because this became so normal that they could call me with his stuff. He's just another family. Like, it just became, and I don't want to say I kick myself in the ass, like, but it's just like, sometimes y'all got to bear with me. It'd be like an out-of-body experience. Nice. Like, you know, it'd be like,
you're reflecting
like,
on it. Yeah,
like, so, let's just get to it. So, yeah, they called me, and then they said, you know, something happened to him. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, stuff happened to people. Like, I'm like, I'd be disconnected from it. Like, okay, cool. Like, and then I remember them calling back, like, he died. Mm. And, like, I just dropped the phone, and I just shouted, like, fuck. Like, oh, my God. Like, why? Like, I do not want to go through this right now. Like, why did you do that to me? Like, I went all these years and not being this person, not, you know, talking about it. Like, it's just like you just dumped it, like, all in front of me. And that was just like, I can't sit here and even put the emotions, like, together. Like, it was something like I never felt before, but I was scared. I think, like, I was really scared because, like, I didn't want to become that person. I didn't want people to, oh, she gonna come and she going this. And I wasn't used to it being about me or people caring. So it was just like, I wanted to do anything for that not to happen. Like, so.
Did it bring that trauma, right? Like, put it all in front of your face type thing? Like, where you had to kind of like relive it?
Yeah, I think it made it real. Yeah. Like, it made it so real. Like, and I think it was a little bit of everything, just like reliving it. And y'all, it's like, it's so crazy, y'all, but like, I still felt bad.
Right, because you ain't even feel relieved. Because
I felt bad. Like,
damn.
It's like so crazy. Like, when I tell y'all, I can't even elaborate on some of this stuff. Like, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm in my head. I don't know if that's just like they say with trauma, you kind of handle it different ways. Sometimes you want to bury it and you do certain things to, you know, but I was like, man, like, you know, I ain't want to go out like that, you know, like it was like crazy. And this is still probably the thing I told y'all that comes from the child. I'm learning to put myself last, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I'm thinking of, I don't want this person to
ask. You think of everybody else, but
yeah,
you.
I'm thinking about everybody else. Like, I don't want nobody to wonder if I'm coming. I don't want nobody to think I feel some type of way. I don't want nobody to make this about me.
Damn.
So I went, put money up, make sure he had to extended the repass.
That's.
I'm sorry, my boy.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my boy.
Hey, I wouldn't have did shit, boy. Shout out to you, Sonny, bro.
It was weird because, like, you know, I don't know. It's like every time I think about it, it's like an out-of-body experience. Like, you know, I couldn't even walk up there. Like, but I got a big family. I remember, like, sitting, like, three rows back and just, like, I don't know the emotions, y'all. Like, I felt free. I felt sad. My mom, everybody here crying. Mm-hmm. It's like, am I wrong? Am I right? Am I?
It's a lot going on.
You don't know. Like, even at this big age, that's something you can't really, like, you know, like. So, like, that was, like, my most recent encounter. But I did make sure the last time, you know, they viewed him, I made sure that I felt like I had to see it. You know, because, like, in a weird way, I feel like, I feel like I wish we could have, like, hashed it or something.
Had
like
a conversation.
That. Had a conversation about it because, like,
get his perspective or something.
Yeah, like, I just, it's something, I don't know. Like, I just wish, like, I don't know if I handled it, like, the right way. Like, it's a crazy, I don't know, y'all.
Yeah, you taking a lot of responsibility for something that ain't even your, like, it's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, everything you broke down, you was definitely putting everybody first. Even him, in a sense. You know what I'm saying?
Literally.
Yeah. So yeah. With therapy, I know you talked about therapy. Mm-hmm. Like,
and when did you start therapy too?
That was November 25th, 2024.
Okay.
Word. Mm-hmm. And it's been helping you.
Oh my God. Like, it's just like everything that I thought I knew and all of the stuff that I thought I was just making these choices and liking girls and doing. She like, You know what's crazy? What? Like, when I told my therapist, like, and it was like, I felt like she kind of broke character or something. Like, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, you know, I went and I,
What you mean?
And I'm like when I told her, like, what paid. I was going to do.
Oh,
what
I'm, she pissed. She's like, we pissed. We hit to your.
Like, and then.
You going to be good. You on God's
grace. Like, you got it. You better than me.
Yeah. God's favor.
And then it was like the why. And I couldn't answer her, and I had to think about it. And then we did like exercises, and I was like, "Man, I was scared." Like,
you're trying to play it normal because it's something you would do for somebody, like anybody else in your family. You would do it, so it'd be weird if you ain't helping.
We don't talk. It's not something we talk about. This is not something we discuss. This is not something that I'm used to dealing with. Not right now. Mm-hmm. We ain't even about to do this. Like, I am not about to be whoever. I work really hard to get away from this. Like,
right.
You know, that's why I was the big fuck. Like, why you do this to me? Like, you know, like, so, that was like my last encounter. Now, I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel so, it's probably sound horrible, but like, I just feel different. Like, it never happened to me. Like, you know, like that was in a different lifetime, like, or something like that. It's like,
you're a different person now.
Yeah. It's just like, man.
And you probably had weight just in your subconscious, like wondering if he's still out there doing it. And now that he's not here, now you know he can't hurt nobody else if he was still doing it to anyone else.
That's kind of like.
I do want to say, like, how we was talking earlier when when I think you asked, like, were like you the only one or something? I do want to say, like, I don't think it's ever just one.
Me
and I think for anybody listening, I think that's the important part is that you got to kind of speak up, maybe not just for yourself, to prevent it from being a continuous thing.
Right.
Because if somebody don't get caught, even if they do, they might still do it. And like you said, it's like a mental thing. So like they really need help. This is not something they could just be like, all right, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? It's just like an addict. Like you can't go cold turkey. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's so important to speak up. And because a lot of times, even things we have talked on, we thought we was the only one. And then when you put it out there, so many other people come out. And I think that's so important that like we kind of normalize like these tough conversations.
Because
I think even somebody watching this might be like, you know what? I need to go to therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think us as adults, we think like we kind of know the answers.
Yeah.
And we know like life. But then when you go to therapy, it'd be like, damn, I never thought about it like that. Yeah. Damn, you went deep. Like it might be a tough topic and it might make you even, some people ignore having to deal with it.
That's
because
what it
when
is,
you leave therapy, you might leave sad as fuck, but it might have been a little bit lifted off of you too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, I commend that for sure.
So do you feel like you forgiving him? Or did you already forgive him before he passed?
Yeah, I feel like I already forgave him. And I just feel like, you know, I feel like I did. You know, I think that's why I was always trying. Like, I didn't see him in a long time. And I think, like, the last encounter before the funeral was, like, I was in a mall. And I see one of my cousins. And he walked out the store. He tried to go the other way. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, and he doing the, you know, like, I'm like, what you doing? Like, what you about to get? I'm trying to make it as, like, you know. Oh, you know, I'm just trying to get something to wear with these shoes. Okay, let me see your clothes. Let's go get something. Like, you know, and when you think about stuff like that, it's like, I think I tried to make him comfortable so, like, he could feel okay to come. No, look, so he could feel okay to come to me so we could talk about it.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to come as in, like, just you could, because as much as you want to move, I want to move past this too.
Yeah, right.
Like,
I feel that.
I want to move past this too. So I'm trying to give you the cues, like my boy, like my heart is big. What's up? Like, come on. Like, we can reintroduce each other. We can have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just didn't happen. He couldn't deal with it. He couldn't face
that
it.
That guilt. Like,
Guilt. Boy, tripping. Mm-hmm. You got a good heart, Sonny, on you. You good in God's book.
Hey, yeah.
You good. You got VIP. You feel me?
VIP
from now.
Crazy.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Nah, dead ass. But, all right, so this is a topic that a lot of people say do we all feel, or you can answer it, a lot of people assume that queerness is caused by trauma. So do you feel like if you were not sexually assaulted, would you still have a liking for women? Do you even associate that with each other?
I just, at the therapy, I started to realize, like, that is associated. I can't tell y'all nothing else because that's what happened. Like, it'd be like, I'm just sitting here saying, like, maybe or maybe not. But it's like, I feel like mine was caused from trauma because that's what I know men to be.
Especially because it happened with somebody else too. Yeah.
You know, even when you go tell and men know, and then men sweep it under the rug. It's like, man, is this what y'all all do? Like, I don't feel protected by men. I never have. Like, you know, like, so I feel like mine is trauma. It's like, you know, like some people can have situations happen to them and go on in life to love the male and continue to sweep it under the rug. But then there's this line on the other side of people that's like me where I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much. Like, I correlate men with this, and that's not my fault. Like, you know, it's just it's just how it happened.
You consciously, like, when you said, like, at 13 you started wearing, like, boxes and stuff, was that a conscious thing to make him not want you, or was that just something you were going through and just...
I don't know, but I know, like, you know, people, you know, I love women. Like, I feel like women saved me.
Hello?
It was, like, my safe space.
Hello?
Right? It's just, like...
Same.
You know, it's just, like... You know, just, I don't even know how to break this down, but it just still goes back to everything I know about a male. And I don't know if it's, this could be just a trauma response. I don't want nothing to do with it, but I don't know if it was conscious or not.
Right.
I don't know, because I can't go back. It'd be like blurry for real. Like, if you asked me before therapy, I've been like girls, I'm 6 years old. Like, I like girls forever. I like girls since I was 5. Because it's going to be fog. I don't know. Like, I can't tell. I just feel like I like girls all my life. But this happened so young.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I can't answer that because it happened.
Yeah.
Like, I never had the fear shot of, like, getting my own opinion. This was just like, You know, I never had that. So it was like... But do I like men like that? Absolutely not. Like, I can't do it. Like, it's bigger for me. Like, it's not just like, I don't know,
Do you have friendships with men, or do you still have that, like, perspective a little bit, or?
Yeah, I can have friendship with men, but it gotta be I can have friendship with men, you know? You can't, don't give me no clues or nothing. I'm out. You're like, don't try to, like, make me feel like I can't do that. Like, because men are still, you know, for what I think men are, like, I had somebody hit on me.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of my friends, like, for a long time.
Oh, hell no.
And the friendship got to end. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, man, like, ew, this is done. Like, this is done. Now, right. You know, like, it's crazy. Like, you know, so, like, it be so much going in my head, y'all. Yeah. I apologize.
No, you good. I'm about to say, recently men just been so brave to talk about how they love studs, and they actually have been liking studs. I don't know what shifted in the in the conversation, in the room, but now everybody, all these men, just like, hey yo, I'll be like, all right.
Stay over there.
Yeah. Keep that shit over there. But that's interesting, because a lot of people definitely try to, everybody wants to justify why somebody gay. They're like, are you born gay? Are you this? And da-da-da.
Yeah.
And like, Excel always say, like, before I even thought about, like, sex with a girl, I was attracted to a girl. So it wasn't really about the sex.
I was a tomboy before I even thought about girls in general. Right. I was already a stud before I liked daddy bitches.
Right. I like basketball. I like football. So for me, it wasn't like, I'm even thinking about a girl in a sexual way. I'm just attracted to feminine energy, and I like how females make me feel.
Yeah.
So, but for you, you can't even pinpoint whether you ever even had that, because your experience just like, I don't fuck with men.
Yeah, of course.
I think it could be both. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Some people can be influenced. Some people can be like a victim of something, and that triggers them. They're not going back. And some people could feel like they was born that way, you know. And within the community, sometimes we be wanting one answer, like, or labeling or whatever. And it's like, sometimes it's not that, and that's okay. Like,
Well, I want to say thank you again for sharing this with us. Like I said, I feel like the viewers will appreciate it. Mm. For me personally, I don't know if it's because I'm in the podcast world or whatever, but like I just feel like the sexual assault conversation has been very, it's been more consistent nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like people are feeling more comfortable to speak on it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also like we were saying earlier, like people feel like they were the only ones that went through it. Mm-hmm. And then once you keep hearing so many stories, it mm-hmm. gives everybody else the courage to come forward. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that when they hear your story, they'll go get the therapy. You feel me? Because mm-hmm. we love trying to tuck something in the back of our head.
Right,
and
right.
then we wonder why our relationships are not working. We right. wonder why we can't get anywhere in life is because we got all this shit that we need to unpack that right. we're afraid to unpack. But really, once we release it, we'll go into another stage of our life, kind of like what happened to you.
Right, right.
So I definitely salute you for coming up here and sharing for sure.
And it's low key, like, it sounds so, you know, when like we like, don't get into a relationship, like, get yourself right first. But sometimes we, our relationships ain't never going to be right until we right. Like, how is it going? I mean, we can rely on this person. They can help us get through some things. They can show support. But, like, really, we got to make sure we're good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because no matter what they're doing for us, if we're going through some trauma in our head that is just making us sad or angry, there's mm-hmm. nothing your spouse could do that could really 100% get you up out of there. Right. You know right. what I'm saying? Right. So, right. I do think it's important to get that help and, yeah. you know, like deal with it right, personally. Right, right. Is there any advice that you would give somebody? Any advice you just want to give, like from a victim to like
survivor?
Yeah, not a survivor. Victim. All right, my bad.
Survivor.
A survivor from mm-hmm. it or anything.
Especially for like mass presenting women, because I yeah. feel like we gotta, you feel me?
Man up and shit.
Yeah,
damn.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I do. I want to say it's okay to feel how you feel. It's okay to, you know, have to sit in it sometimes until you feel better. Basically, like, it's okay to not be okay. Like, mm-hmm. because I had a hard time with that. Like, you know, like, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, people need to know that it's okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. You know?
I heard.
It's the biggest thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, before we get you up out here, want to do guidance?
Yeah, we could do that.
And on a lighter note.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to our watchers out there. I know y'all appreciate this shit up here. Because yeah. we always being goofy and shit, but we like to be serious sometimes as well.
Every once in a while.
Nah, yeah, you know, man. We just big ass kids. So we're going to get into guidance from the gay guys. This is where our viewers, they write into us for advice. Mm-hmm. So you're going to give somebody else.
Yeah. You the therapist. Yeah. You the therapist.
Yeah, you tell your therapist about this shit up here. All right.
Guidance from the gay guy.
So this person wrote, I guess they wrote it at night. Say, good night, everyone. I'm 26 and currently struggling with dating. I'm looking for an emotionally secure woman who has a strong sense of self, is intelligent and confident, and has her life together. A woman like Glamazante. I did not see that coming. They said, my life philosophy is centered around growth, purpose, and balance. I've tried dating women who aren't on the same level as me, and it felt toxic and draining. I aspire to become my best self in my career, health, relationships, and spirit. While I don't drive a Benz or have a play or have my place, I still live with my parents. I do have a career, goals, and ambition. I take care of myself, period. My question is, should I start pursuing women like this, or should I focus on improving myself first, get a better car and more space? Also, is Atlanta a good place to meet women like this?
Social media got people head yeah, fucked up, man. I'm going to just say that. I'm going to let you do that. But I was just thinking, like, people feel like they can't, like, there's been several times people pull up to me and they'll have, like, a nice Honda or something, right? Yeah. They be like, don't mind my car. I'm like, that's a good fucking car.
At least you got a car.
Like, social media got you feel like you can't be.
Yeah,
like,
social media do that.
And the whole time, so you think somebody's stunned, they paying $800, you're paying $250. Right, like, you're winning.
Right, you own your shit. You feel
I'm happy
me?
Y'all talked about that, because that'd be blowing me, right? There's just the perception. That's another part of, like, I want to come here, like, and do this, like, we human. We are people. We go through things. It's not just about what y'all see all the time. Yes. But you know, Atlanta's.
So what advice stage? You got for our Atlanta friend here? She's giving like she's like younger. But
26.
She's 26?
26, yeah.
Okay, well then on that note, I got other advice. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
So the first thing I would say is definitely slide into Tay's DMs because that was like super like, you know, that was definitely for Tay. Yeah. But like on the dating side, I would say definitely worry about yourself first always and get yourself together. Yeah. I really don't believe in looking for anyone. Mm-hmm. I don't believe into that. Yeah. Like, I believe you do your thing out here. You take care of yourself. You do the work. And I always feel like your person gonna come. Because looking don't ever end up. It's a lot that come with looking.
Start settling.
Start forcing and all of that. I'll definitely tell her to do the second thing. Get yourself together. And it does not matter about what car you drive or how much money you make. Because when you find your person, none of that, it's not going to matter. Like, so just do your work. Become who you're going to be. And if it's your person, they're going to accept you for who you are.
That was motivational. I'm going to say you need to focus on getting up out your fucking parents' house.
Ain't no wrong with about that. You know what's wrong with yourself? I wish you won't make it on my nerves. Why be up in that shit, man?
No. I'm not mad at it, okay? But you shouldn't be up in that your mama's house looking for the love of your life.
Yeah.
All right? I think if
you... Glamour Zante, I ain't going to lie.
Glamour Zante,
I don't know, but...
No. Yo, on the other note, if I want to focus on me, get my money up and don't have to really pay or just maybe help out and I can stay with my mom, with my dad and get on my feet, that's amazing. So don't take that the wrong way. Right. But it's like you trying to find a wife and you don't got a lease. Mm. You don't got an apartment. You don't got a, like, and I'm not saying it like that. You stay up in there. But like, what you going to creep her in through the back? You going to have to say, shh.
Yeah.
No, we too old for that. Yeah. We used to do that quiet sex. So your parents, y'all.
Turn the TV up.
Yeah. Come on now. Your mom's not fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Why am I watching Bonanza?
I'm just saying, sorry. Yeah. I'm not judging anybody that live with their parents, but I'm judging your priorities while you're living with them.
Okay. So I agree. That's a good point. Priorities. I'm glad you circled that back around.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Sometimes
stuff. Damn, motherfucking live with their parents. Tough out here. But I get what you're saying. Priority wise. Get your stuff together. Yeah, I would definitely agree to that.
And y'all don't gotta have no nice ass car. Get the social media stuff has fucked up our generation.
Right.
Yeah.
Get this what you can afford. Yo, if you can like
you ain't gotta get the Benz.
And you don't gotta worry. Yeah, because driving a Benz living with your mom is crazy.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
I definitely agree. I didn't find my person until I started focusing on myself. And like you said, when I stopped looking, that's when I just naturally attracted what I was looking for. So I definitely agree with what you said. Like, focus on you, put yourself first, get your priorities in order, whatever that means to you. Because everybody's priorities are different, you feel me? But I feel like if you stop looking, then it'll come to you. Now, as far as coming to Atlanta and saying, is this a good place to date women like this, but you gonna need a bitch.
Yeah.
If you want, they want lamb chops Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and hookah and a bottle of Reposado. So I don't know if you want to come down here and get
stay with your mama. Yeah. Stay with your mama. Yeah.
I don't stay with your mama because these women out here gonna break your motherfucking pockets. And then you ain't gonna be able to put that damn rent towards your mama's mortgage.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna be looking crazy because now you can't even put your half on your mama's rent.
And date somebody in your category.
Yeah.
Don't date Glamour Zante.
Don't date women in Atlanta.
You're gonna be stressed. You don't know if that car going to be.
Yo, Tay, reach for the stars. What they say, Buzz Light, reach for the stars. Go ahead. I'll salute to you. Yeah. But hey, that's you gotta date within your tax bracket, is what they be saying nowadays. And I agree with that.
We're gonna have Glamour Zante back on here. We gotta ask her, would she be okay with that? But that's for
Cause y'all didn't try to date people that's like, I know I ain't got no business dating you.
Yeah,
because
you
do want lamb chops every day of the week, and I don't wanna do that for you.
You gotta know.
You feel me?
I didn't even really hear about lamb chops until I moved to Atlanta.
That's a fact. I don't like them.
Yeah. Me neither. Yeah, I don't like them either. But.
I ain't doing all that shit. Jollof rice, everything, man. Get the fuck out of here.
That really be the meal of the order.
I got some beef noodles for your ass. You feel pull up beef in there. We gonna act like it's from the damn lamb chop. What are you talking about?
And you're engaged in a relationship.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm engaged too.
When you married, right?
Yeah, I'm married.
February 14th.
Okay,
2024.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you did that. Like it was just last year. You'd be forgetting.
It might have been 2023. I don't want to get in trouble.
Why
it's a lot. Baby,
it's 23 or 24?
24 hours. Okay. Yeah, see,
I feel you though.
But y'all been together
This is a serious interview. It could be a lot.
Nah,
of, you know,
Nah, and then lesbian time be all over the place. You feel me? It's 2024. Yeah. That's like,
do not kill me. I'm good with this.
You good. Yeah. Nah, but thank you, Sonny. We appreciate you, and I think it's just a very important conversation. Like Britt said, especially even for masculine women, because we don't hear it that much, and maybe sometimes they're embarrassed to even bring that up. You know what I mean? So we appreciate that.
No problem.
And for sure.
Thank you.
Y'all go get her clothing.
Yeah.
Fuck with her brand. It's definitely
when the next drop is coming.
Next summer. Week.
Next week?
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Next week,
I had a website up. Okay. Maybe the next drop, probably like 2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks. Word. Give me two. Yeah.
Word.
Well, so come back outside. Come see us soon.
I will. I talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
I see everything.
Okay.
I see everything. I talk about it a lot. But y'all, it was like the music thing. Like, I really don't go out. Like, so it seemed like I just felt, no, I don't. It was
You told me that when I very first met you. Me and my girl, bro. I don't be fucking around people like that.
Yeah,
like,
nah, so I'm not really a soul. I got social anxiety and I'd be like,
That's okay. And not everybody is meant to like go out like that. But I can say there is a lot of networking you could do it even as far as your brand.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And just for people see you, they'll compliment you. Right. And then that's how you can build.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
So we appreciate you. Thank you.
Hell yes.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah.
Whole lot of gay shit. Whole lot of gay.
Boss Britt. We certify. And DJ XL.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.